This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. I'm Greta Mart.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the San Luis Obispo County Airport in San Luis, and we're here with Kevin Booman, who's the airport director. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good. So here we are. COVID-19 continues. Strange days.
It has been an unusual year, to say the least.
So tell us the state of travel by air and what you guys have learned, how it's evolved, your safety protocols, what you recommend.
So as far as our operation of the passenger terminal, we, like many businesses, had to make changes in how we were doing our maintenance routines for custodial services and different practices within the building for cleaning. We were adapting that early after all this started because, you know, air travel and airports were not allowed to close. We were required to remain open, and the airlines continued to serve the market, so there was a very, very small amount of demand early in this. We adapted the operation pretty quickly. There's a lot of industry best practice that came into place because we were not under any new regulatory structure in terms of how we had to treat the facility or any kind of passenger processing requirements. So the industry really aligned around a series of best practices that we've put into place. We're now going through what's called the Global Biorisk Advisory Council certification process.
And what does that look
at? And so the GBOC, the Global Biorisk Advisory Council, is an industry group that looks at facility hygiene and industrial hygiene across many industries and does an audit process where they look at your procedures, everything from the type of cleaning products you're using to how they're being applied, how you're training your staff, and then the efficacy of that process. Does it work? Are you actually achieving a level of sanitation in your cleaning? And then ongoing reporting. So we're hopeful to see that initial application and certification process completed here this fall. And there's airports around the country that are going through this as well. It's not a required process to go through, but certainly the kind of the top of the best practice. As far as our activity levels, in August, we were down about 56% year over year from August of last year.
Have you had cutbacks in the number of flights per day?
We do have fewer flights per day. We're about half of our prior schedule. So,
have you stopped serving some gateways?
We currently have service suspended on Las Vegas, San Diego, and Portland, which never actually initiated service back earlier this summer. Portland and San Diego right now are scheduled to start in March of 2021, and Las Vegas at this point doesn't have a restart date. So we're hopeful that they will all come back, and I think, you know, our market has shown that with the service we've had, albeit limited, we have filled those seats as we typically do. So far, so good. We're looking at September, we'll probably be about 50% of year prior. But we're not seeing much growth going forward. When we look at the forecasted seats in the market through the end of the year, it's going to be about the same or even a little less, depending on which period you look at. And, of course, with the looming significant layoffs at the airlines, we're looking at that closely. There hasn't been anything revealed specifically to our airport in terms of impacts, but
you're talking about laying off, 16,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
That has to affect.
And it's United and American.
Right.
You know, all the carriers are looking at having to make some additional cuts.
Doesn't that mean you're going to you have to reduce the number of flights because you don't have the flight attendants and
routes? Yes, on the spoke routes like ours, I would say likely. Mm-hmm. They have not revealed any major schedule changes as of yet,
but possibility
in the next few days. I think we're going to see more there.
As you know, I still travel. I'm out of here, I think Monday to Arkansas, so it's always a little think twice when you fly. But honestly, I feel more comfortable right now traveling than I do going to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Because the compliance is tougher.
Yeah, the compliance is tougher, and you know, the onboard sanitation on the aircraft is really incredible what the airlines have done. You know, both between every flight as well as the deep cleaning when the aircraft are on the ground at night, there's just such a higher level of detail involved in that now than has ever been there. I think that's something that this industry is going to a large part retain post-COVID. it may be done with different processes, maybe greater efficiency in how they do it as the traffic levels increase. But I think the airlines are seeing that that really matters to the customer, certainly at this moment. But I think there will be some long-lasting changes in the industry from this.
Going forward, Kevin Boomen, County Airport Director, you're leaving us. What happened?
I am. Next week is my last week here at the airport, and I was offered the position at San Francisco International Airport as the Chief Commercial Officer.
What does that mean?
That's an interesting job in the airport space, something you see more commonly at the larger airports. It is essentially the executive in charge of the airport's revenue side of the business. So, you know, airports are enterprise forms of government. We operate based on revenue that we generate with the aviation activity and the non-aviation activity at the airport. And so this position will be in charge of the revenue for the airport, everything from, you know, working with food, beverage, retail, rental cars, parking, airline agreements, rental of property, any service provided on the airport.
So you have fixed income, fixed expenses, variable income and expenses. What are the areas that you could manipulate to try and maintain a healthy economic model?
So right now, when you look at airports that are doing okay financially, they have a diversification in their revenue base, not just within the aeronautical revenues, but into non-aeronautical.
An example
of that in San Francisco is there's a Grand Hyatt Hotel at the airport that just opened. While their business is certainly down, it is doing better than most hotels in the city. And so that is an example of one of the many ways airports develop other types of facilities to create additional revenue and also to provide some stability in the revenue. You see everything from other types of logistics facilities for cargo and ground handling. You see airports that, you look at like Dallas-Fort Worth, they have oil and gas leasing on the airport. So there are other lines of business that airports step into that are compatible with the operation of the airport, but that generate additional revenue. And it can't be more important than now, because airports across the country have seen such a dramatic drop in their aviation and airline revenues in particular. You know, we're very much a fixed overhead type of business. We're capital intensive. We have a lot of fixed costs, and you have to be able to pay for that somehow.
And I imagine it was palpable going through Houston the other day. They shrink-wrapped half of their retail spaces, their gift shops and whatnot. They were just not only shuttered, they were wrapped up.
Certainly.
So that would be a huge hit for you guys as far as income, right?
It is. And when you look at the business to be had in the airport, that marketplace is contracted. With San Francisco is a great example of you know, an airport that their traffic is in the 10 to 15% of year prior. The larger airports have not been immune to everything that's happened here, and in some cases have been, depending on where they are, affected even more significantly. So, yeah, the retail, the food and beverage, everything has declined with the lack of passenger travel.
And then, like rental cars you touched on, a lot of airports, they take a fee.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
And so that's gone, right?
It has all moved together. You look at it at an airport like San Luis, though, and how we're diversified here, although we don't have a hotel or a business park or some of these other components that airports have to support their revenue, we do have a very strong general aviation operation here. So essentially everything that doesn't fly but the airlines, and that's business aviation, that's owner flown, small aircraft, corporate aircraft, folks that come in for flight training operations. And general aviation has been quite resilient through this crisis. Folks are flying their airplanes for both personal and business reasons, and that generates some revenue for the airport. Our activity levels are not much lower. That side of the industry has remained relatively strong.
But out front in the parking lot, that's a sobering view.
It is. And it, you know, when you look at the business volume on this airport from airline operations, parking, all the associated revenue that comes with
that's
that.
That's a real important, valuable revenue stream for you, right?
Airports across the country, if you look at their revenue and you look at the importance of just parking revenue alone, it's critical to how they operate. And our parking revenue is down dramatically, like most airports right now.
A couple of years ago, you and I were talking about airport parking structure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen for a while.
Not for a while, but you know, one of the challenges in this is that we've seen this massive drop. unlike anything the industry's ever seen at any point in its history. And yet, if you look at the long-term growth in aviation, it always comes back. This one's going to take a while. There's no question about it. But the fundamental need to move people and products across long distances efficiently will not go away. It may happen for different reasons. There may be a different paradigm to air travel as to when and why people travel, particularly business travelers in the near term. But the need to move people and products is as old as humanity. Yeah. You know, we used to do it with a cart and a horse, and now we do it with airplanes.
And there's been a palpable shift to freighters transporting goods around the world by aircraft.
Yeah, and the conversion of passenger aircraft to do just that, you know, flying empty but with belly cargo or other types of operations. Majority of the cargo that moves in and out of our region is by ground.
Right.
But we have feeder air cargo.
But in your new world in San Francisco, that's major, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Amazon Prime Air is in there now. There's a whole logistics operation that has grown because of this event and to replace, obviously, some of the passenger traffic.
One more little tidbit. Your future world, I know you share the love of the museum, the aviation museum at the International Terminal at SFO. What a cool place, and it's kind of tucked away and hidden.
Absolutely, yeah. What a beautiful spot. It's a recreation of the interior of the original airport.
That the Mills.
Used to be there. Yeah, the Mills Airport. And really fantastic facility, you know, an iconic world-class museum. And really sets the standard in what airport aviation museums can be.
The thing I love, I have a weak spot for Pan Am and the China Clipper, and they have a great array of ephemera from the day.
From a unique time period in aviation, and San Francisco was certainly a big part of that, both at Treasure Island and then at the Seaplane Harbor there at the airport. Mm-hmm. So,
and before the war, as you know, Treasure Island was envisioned as being SFO.
Exactly. What a different world that would have created, for sure, to have it right in the middle of the bay.
Yeah, they would have had to infill the bay for about a mile for the runways. Kevin Booman, this is great. I'm going to come hunt you down at SFO. You can plan on it.
We'll always have a lot to talk about, Tom.
You got it. Kevin, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world here.
Our airport website is being updated frequently as changes are occurring, you know, COVID-related or other types of major announcements.
And the URL is?
Is slowairport.com.
That's easy.
Yeah, I think travel these days certainly isn't for everyone, but I was asked in an interview with Dave Congleton earlier this week, you know, would you fly?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I would. I have not flown during COVID. I haven't had a need to or a reason to. But working in the industry and seeing what's going on and really understanding it from the inside out, I have the highest confidence in the safety of the passenger and that the airlines are doing everything they can to ensure that level of safety. And I know it's an uncomfortable thought for people, but my feeling is that it's safe.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, because, as you know, I go up in the sky all the time. Kevin Booman, thanks again.
All right, Tom, thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the San Luis Obispo County Airport.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. Hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm a leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the time I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Oh, babe, I hate to go.